Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with David Strickle, the Stream of David, and this is your Daily Dose of Happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today. Just taking one more opportunity to remind people that for this Thursday, obviously this is not applying so much for people watching the local cable cast because they see the shows quite a bit later, but for people who are regular podcast listeners, we don't record on Thanksgiving Day, which is this coming Thursday, but we're going to do instead a special episode that I've been talking about for the past few days. And in that episode, we are doing a rampage of gratitude. Myself, my co-hosts, people who've been guests on the show, and listeners are sending in their own examples of what they're grateful for on Thanksgiving. And I mentioned this because I want to invite listeners who have not yet done so to become a part of it. And it's very simple to do. You just go to loatoday.net/gratitude, and you will be able to record with your phone what it is you're grateful for on Thanksgiving. And we will include it in our mashup of all the different things that people are grateful for as we approach the Thanksgiving holiday. So if you haven't done it yet, take advantage and be a part of it. It's going to be fun. And David, it's been a week since we talked, but this has been something we've been talking about actually since the last time that we saw you on the show. We've been getting good response on it. We're going to have a good Thanksgiving video when we're done. And I'm kind of excited about it because how often do you do an entire show rampaging gratitude?
Yeah. And raising the vibe, just speaking what your gratitude is and then having it play over into infinity in a loop.
Exactly.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a really good thing. In fact, we were talking before the show about, you'd mentioned that you had been doing something kind of similar with your own podcast. What was it you were doing?
Well, what we did, it wasn't specific to gratitude, but my radio show this week, we went over our tips for navigating the holidays and keeping your eye.
Right. Yes.
In fact, I see that question a lot in my Facebook group. Somebody posted it. I saw it just this morning. My least favorite word, toxic. Mm. You know, yes. how do I survive Thanksgiving? It's Thanksgiving here in the United States. How do I survive Thanksgiving with my toxic family? And of course, my answer to that is, well, maybe stop calling them toxic for one thing.
Yeah, that's a good start.
Yeah, that'd be a good start to stop judging that all that is toxic. And we went over the top five, and Carrie and I actually talked about it for a full hour on Monday during the live radio show. Just different techniques. They're all Taya tools for you know, releasing judgment and fear from your life. Because if you release judgment and fear, other people are not bothersome to you. And that's the key to all of this. Because that's why I don't like the word toxic, because as soon as you start labeling the people around you toxic, you are A, not taking responsibility for the fact that somehow you've aligned yourself with that energy, or you would not be around these quote unquote toxic people. So taking a little ownership of that, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are toxic, but maybe you're focused on it and you're fearing it and therefore you're attracting it. So there is that. The other component of that is judging the other person's experience. And I use an example of someone that's in my life. I won't be real specific about who, so I can stay out of trouble myself.
Right.
But in my life that we see fairly often that is a rather negative person. They definitely focus on negative, and that is a judgment of mine, but it's one that's very easy to make if you're around this person at all, you know, always focusing on the negative. There's always something wrong with everything. And I found it very difficult to be around them. I needed them in short doses because that was getting to me. And then I stopped and realized, well, wait a minute, I'm not practicing what I teach here. With all my Taya tools, you know, I'm falling into judgment with this and I need to detune that. And the nice thing about doing this vibrational work, whether it's through the Taya practice or something else, raising your default vibration, all of these high vibrational tools are a lot easier to access when you do the meditation and the ongoing appreciation throughout the day and setting positive intention, all these things that we know that we need to do if we're students of the law of attraction, right? You need to raise, you do things to keep your vibration up. It's easier to go up. Just like if you don't do that work and you sort of just live by default, which is fine, it's a lot easier though to go down and to be triggered down because you're not doing this work that sort of raises your vibration. So in doing that, I adjusted my mindset toward this person. The last time I was around them, it was an instant change.
Oh, nice.
They said or did, and there was plenty of things that would have triggered me if I were in a lower vibration. But I got my vibration up and set my positive intention before I went in. And suddenly this person, I would never label anybody toxic anyway personally, but this person didn't, their negative, the things they offered that were negative didn't go away, but I didn't see it that way. It didn't affect me. It didn't bother me at all. It just sort of washes over you. And when you do these things that we talk about doing in the Thai practice, one of them is not needing to be right. Because think about it. Why do you need to be right?
I have lots of years of experience knowing why I needed to be right.
Especially if you're into politics, right? You know why
right,
you need
right.
to be right. Because your side is the right side and the other side.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So you need to be right. And of course, right now we're in a very, you know, I'm 52 years old and I've never encountered a Thanksgiving holiday or any holiday with the combination of things that are going on, especially in the United States, COVID, the contentious election, you know, all of this stuff is going on. The fact that because of COVID, we are, in a lot of cases, you know, having to adjust the way that we're celebrating these holidays. I know a lot of people are not bothering to do that. They're just doing whatever they want. But our Thanksgiving last year, we were at a house with over 100 people.
Wow.
Thanksgiving last year. Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of fun, but it was crazy. It was that many people. And then I had a Christmas Eve party last year where there's about 45 people that showed up to my house for Christmas Eve.
Wow.
This year, we have no plans with anyone really to do much of anything. It's just a small gathering here of about four people and that's it. Now that's not keeping me from cooking a feast. Like there's 12. I'm cooking a 12-pound turkey. I love to cook. So I'm cooking a 12-pound turkey, just my regular recipe of stuffing, my regular recipe of mashed potatoes, two pies. Yeah, I made pie crust this morning. I haven't made pie crust in years, but I'm really baking. That's my COVID thing is eating for entertainment and gaining weight for entertainment, apparently, as a result of that. So I've attracted that. I've attracted better baking skills. I've attracted some extra pounds. But I'm enjoying the process and I'm very much at peace with it. So we'll see how my pie crust turn out after the fact. But anyway, getting back to not needing to be right, that's all about ego. So if you have your belief system and you are truly confident and comfortable in your belief system and allowing of other people to have their experience, that's the thing. That's where you can't separate law of attraction really from what we call spirituality. Because that kind of gets into spirituality. All of law of attraction does as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, a lot of people get into law of attraction just because they want to attract money and a better life or better health or whatever. But to me, for it really for you to really understand how the universe operates, you're going to get into some level of spiritual thinking, something beyond physical, certainly. And when you get into thinking beyond physical, understanding that every soul, every being is here to have the experience that it's having. We judge it from a human perspective of, oh, that's a great life. That's a terrible life. Oh, this poor thing. Oh, how lucky and blessed this person is. But from the eternal perspective, the viewpoint of the stream of source is our souls are here to have exactly the experience that we're having. Mm-hmm. And our ego is the judge of it. And true. When we return to what they call our completed state, we're dead, essentially. Mm-hmm. We don't judge it the same. We look back and say, wow, I OD'd at 17 and that was my lifespan. And what a great experience that was to have that experience as a physical being. We don't see that way as a human being. Oh my gosh, it's terrible. They took on a drug habit and overdosed as a teenager and missed all this life. But when you start thinking of your being as infinite, and having infinite lifetimes, whether you fully believe that or not, if you move into that mode of thinking, you can take the pressure off of this lifetime, which as far as I'm concerned, allows you to enjoy it a lot more. Because not needing to be right, even in my mastery group, we got into politics recently. It's a small group of eight people, the ones that are in the Thai Mastery year-long program. And all of a sudden, politics got interjected. And suddenly there were these polar opposite points of view regarding politics. Now, we're all mastering Taya, so it didn't turn into some sort of a fight or anything like that. But we all had to zoom out on the topic and realize at the end of the day, what's going on in politics has the power that we give to it or choose not to give to it.
That's right.
And that's how you navigate a political discussion with your brother-in-law over the holidays. Because if you're not passionate about politics in a way that you think it is actually, you know, controlling your life, and you're no longer needing to control the experience of other people. I know a whole lot of people, especially here where I live, it's what you would call a very liberal community. And so much passion is behind wanting to make life better for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that. It's benevolent.
Sure.
I mean, who isn't benevolent? If I see somebody struggling, I want them to do better. And if there's something I can do to help, absolutely, I'll do that.
Of course, sure.
Not like that. But at being able to zoom out from that topic and say, at the end of the day, we also know via law of attraction that if you're trying to help someone who isn't in alignment with getting the help that you're trying to give, you're wasting your time and you're wasting their time because they are having the experience that they are manifesting. I would rather teach everyone how to manifest improvement and manifest a better life and manifest the experience they want to have rather than get, that doesn't mean I don't give money to people sometimes. I can be very generous at times just because I feel good in doing it. It's soothing my, it's doing something for me, right? But that notion that we're going to elect a candidate because that candidate is going to make everybody's life better. If we get really passionate about that, that's when the blood starts to be shed, right? Because everybody thinks their candidate is the one that's going to do that in their own way. And it's becoming more and more polarized. We see polarity, and the stream talks about polarity more than they speak about law of attraction. Because law of attraction is easy. What we think about, we get. And we're always thinking about a mix of things based on our up and down vibration. So we're getting a mix of results in our lives all the time. And now we understand from the stream's teachings and other teachings why that is. That we didn't come here for perfection. We didn't come here just to manifest everything that we want. We came here to have some problems, to have some challenges, to solve those things and expand our being in the solving of them, in the creating of new things. And when you start looking at life like that, suddenly it's not, oh gosh, it's so terrible, it's so awful, I've had all these problems. You can really ease up on yourself about what you've manifested so far. And I have found that when you're no longer fearing the next shoe dropping. I used to, have you ever been like that? Have you ever gone through a period where you were good and you were waiting for the other shoe to drop?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, large well, chunks of my life, actually.
Yeah, vibrational flow causes that. And because it causes that in our lives, things get really good. And in the back of our mind, we have that little thought process of what's going to happen. This can't last. And sure enough, we end up manifesting something to cause a disruption.
Usually something we don't want.
Yeah. But once you make peace with that, you know, with that being what the stream is now calling the universal process of creation, making a more perfect version of through the disruptions or something that isn't ready to be created yet because it's not fully fleshed out or you're not ready for it in your life, the disruptions will cause it to go away. That's why we get so close to manifesting something we really want and then we disrupt it somehow vibrationally because of vibrational flow. And then that disruption, we have a choice. And this is a big law of attraction teaching that we've uncovered in the Taya practice. It's very transformative. Your choice is to retreat. Okay, that didn't happen. You know, I thought I was going to manifest my dream home. I've heard this before. You know, we found our dream home. Everything seemed so perfect. And then it all fell apart and the deal fell apart. And now we don't have our dream home.
Mm-hmm.
Two choices. You give up. Never going to happen. This law of attraction thing doesn't work. Throw the book away. Doesn't work. You know, we can move on to other things now. And stay in your unwanted house or understand that the universe is showing you that for some reason it wasn't the perfect manifestation yet. And if you hold on and go back up in vibration and trust the universe, trust is so important, the more perfect version of always comes. And we, those of us in the stream said this the other day perfectly. They always say it better than I do. Those of us that have lived a few decades, have had that experience of something falling apart that we thought we wanted so badly. And then we look back and realize, but this other thing came from that. And it's so much better. It's better than I could have ever imagined. And most of us have those stories, and we have to dig in our minds a little bit to find them sometimes, but we do.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Universal process of creation.
Yeah. It's an important thing. And I love the fact that you were pointing to how easy it is to get into that mindset of needing to be right. I was actually writing on that topic in a different way from what you were talking about. The way you were talking about was splendid, don't get me wrong. But somebody had posted something about being told by people that there is no scientific evidence that the law of attraction is true and all this kind of stuff. And it was pretty evident they were upset about it. And I don't know why I decided to write a rather extensive answer on it. And the gist of my answer was about what science is about. Because people tend to deify science, if you know what I mean. And by that, what I'm really trying to say is, there are two aspects to what I'm trying to say. First, people talk about scientific proofs, and any good scientist will tell you that science actually doesn't prove anything. Science is not a proof-generating mechanism. It's about gathering evidence and drawing conclusions from the evidence, learning from it, testing to see did the conclusions play out. It's like this ongoing process of learning by just collecting evidence, collecting information, and adding to the information and talking about it and working it over and figuring out what the next thing is. We're going to theorize about it. It's just continuous. But there is no such thing as a scientific proof. The only people who talk about scientific proof are people who need to be right, such as advertisers who need to say, this has been scientifically proven to work. You know, the scientists aren't saying that. Yeah, it's the advertisers who are saying it.
That today's scientific fact is tomorrow's disproven theory.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, there are ads from the 50s where the doctors, you know, 9 out of 10 doctors tell you to smoke Marlboro or whatever, you know. Like, wow, okay, you know, that was probably a reality back then. And I do remember some older people around me talking about back in the 60s, you know, at the time that I was born, if you were pregnant and smoked, they said, well, don't stop smoking when you're pregnant because that's too disruptive to your body. You need to keep smoking while you're pregnant.
That's true.
Hey, you know, if you saw a pregnant woman smoking, somebody's head would explode. Mm-hmm. So it's funny. And that's all medical, which is all rooted in what you would call science, right? I mean, it evolves. Right. You learn over time. People are very critical about COVID and the COVID treatment and you know, well, do you get antibodies? Do you not? I said, well, gosh, you know, this thing is not even a year old. COVID-19 is because it was discovered in the year
2019.
Right. So it's not even a year old, and you're cracking down on the medical community or the scientific community because they don't know exactly. Well, how could you know exactly? It's not even a year old yet. It may resurface 5 years down the road. We don't know because you don't have 5 years of history with it. So it's changing constantly. And I do think there are a group of people that are doing the best they can to find a cure. And we could, you know, do a whole other podcast on the origin of COVID and all of that, which I don't really want to get into today, but. You know, that because it's not going to help with the top 5 tips for navigating.
That's true.
It would just give people more ammunition to go talk to their brother-in-law on Thanksgiving about where COVID came from.
Right, right.
Which conspiracy theory do you want to subscribe to today? Because the truth is that everything is a manifestation. So it doesn't matter whether someone intentionally manufactured COVID-19 or it just happened. It happened for a reason because we have a broader intention throughout humanity that wanted the disruption. It just created the disruption. And we talked about that back in March. The stream did a whole video on this and said that this will probably get worse because as humanity goes, fear causes more of. And of course, you know, it was barely in the United States at that time. And now the U.S., I think, leads the world in COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And the stream is not about prophesizing. It's just human nature. Yeah, the law of attraction operates like this. This is human nature. This is probably where this is going to go.
Oh, I think it was pretty easy to spot that, actually, especially in March. I mean, the level of fear was off the charts. It was pretty obvious that something was going to come out of that manifestation.
Well, there were people saying that it's just going to go away. Oh, it'll just go away. Don't worry about it. Some really high up people, and I'm not just talking about politicians. They're all being called out for that now. Which is really interesting. You can't really prophesize. And if you're about prophesizing, because I understand that this is, there's not a preset path. And even though we are not in linear time, as far as the idea of like quantum physics, you know, the energetic realm does not operate in quantum time. So everything that's ever happened and everything that's ever going to happen, yes, I get it. It's all simultaneous, but it's evolving, it's changing, it's shifting, it's expanding, or there would be no point in being. It is evolving and changing and doing all of those things. So the what's next is always up to the collective consciousness. So now we're really off the topic of needing to be right, but.
But still, let's stick with that for a moment, because that idea of the collective consciousness is a fascinating one for a couple of reasons, for me, from my perspective anyway, in part because I think it's true that there is a collective consciousness and that it plays a significant role. And by the same token, there's also individual consciousness. And that dichotomy, seeming dichotomy, can be a bit confusing. Well, okay, well, if there's individual consciousness, doesn't that kind of get thrown out the window when there's group consciousness, or vice versa, depending on how you decide to look at it? So I'm curious, what's your take on that? What do you think about that tension between individual consciousness and group consciousness?
Well, the tension is exactly what creates expansion, though, because the individual consciousness has what you would call perhaps freedom of thought, right?
Mm-hmm.
You believe we have freedom of thought. I do believe we have freedom of thought. My thoughts can shift based on information that I'm receiving. I'm always in the gray. I'm never polarized on one side or the other on any topic, really. And I have noted in my life that someone can create something like a documentary and do a really good job creating a documentary. And of course, anytime someone's creating a documentary, it's going to be based on what they're trying to sell you as an idea. So you can watch that documentary and say, that's really interesting. I learned a few things here. If all of this is true, I didn't know that. That's interesting. But I'm not going to just suddenly sign on to everything they're trying to sell to me, because you can turn right around and watch an opposing documentary and have the same reaction to it, because we all live in our own bubble of reality. The stream says that over and over again. We create our bubble of reality, and our bubble of reality creates the collective consciousness bubble of reality for humanity, for planet Earth, and on from there into infinity. And these subgroups, if you will, all the way down to an individual strand of consciousness, is about the tension. The word you used was perfect. So these strands of consciousness create the collective consciousness of humanity. So humanity is questioning tradition and authority unlike humanity has ever questioned before. Mm-hmm. The stream says this all the time. That's why we see the disruption of government, monarchy, religion, and even now policing. All of our institutions of control are starting to crack up, fracture a little bit, right? And we see that. Why is that? Because the collective consciousness of humanity over time has shifted. And it is sort of a majority rules thing, if you think about it. At one time, the vast majority of humanity was living under in a template, under control. And they were happy to do so. You know, three or four generations, what the great generation, what was the generation before the baby boomers?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those generations very much were about, you live your life the way that your church and your government and your community and your culture tells you to live.
True.
And it wasn't a bad thing for them. You know, we can look at that and say, gosh, that's so crazy. I'm so free now. I can go down the street and buy weed, and I can be married to someone of the same gender. And, you know, it's so crazy that they live that way. Well, for them and their time and their bubble of reality, that was the collective consciousness thinking. And to break out of that, you were really disruptive if you broke out of that.
It's also worth noting, too, that people who lived in that time, it wasn't just true of the group consciousness. Individuals were, you know, strong advocates of it. They believed in it fervently. This is not something that they were kind of dragged into kicking and screaming.
No, it worked for them. You know, that American dream, if you want to, you know, you talk about the United States, the American dream of that middle class life for a certain group of people certainly was utopia. Here's your American dream. You're going to have your own house. You're going to have two cars in the garage, and you're going to, you know, do this, and you're going to have this job that's really secure, and you're going to put away for retirement, and then you're going to be able to retire, and you're going to have grandkids, and this is what your life's going to be. And they all fell right into it. And it was the dominant vibration of the time. Certainly it didn't serve everyone, though. And so more and more people started to sort of defect and question. And then as people began communicating and getting together, you know, I grew up in a town that was very segregated. He was 50% white and 50% black, and they lived on one side of town, and the white people lived on the other side of town, and there was not a lot of communication. In fact, I moved there as a child in 1975. That was the year the schools integrated.
Oh my, yeah.
Yeah, so I had that Old South, you know, a taste of that Old South upbringing, and it was, you didn't communicate. You know, the only people of color that I was exposed to as a child worked in my grandmother and my aunt's home as a maid.
Right.
And they were nice people. And that's all I knew of race relations, that these nice ladies, you know, work in the kitchen and clean their houses. And that was my childhood. And of course, I grew up and got out of that and got out into the real world and saw what, you know, moved to Atlanta and saw what the real world was all about, which was the best thing I ever did. And it completely changed my view on all of that.
Right.
So I kind of went from the 50s, even though it was the 70s and 80s, I went like living in the 50s, like a 50s type of life, to a modern type of life, you know, overnight, you know, moving from a small town to Atlanta, Georgia, was a huge eye opener. It was a really good thing for me, a really, really good thing for me, because I learned to interact in a different way with people from all walks of life. And it really opened me up to a lot of things. Well, that's what's happening, is we are breaking out of those little bubbles, and we're being exposed to people that are different from us. And in doing that, we're questioning, well, why do, you know, that template worked for this swath of society, but it's not working for these other folks. So maybe we need to figure something else out that works for everyone. And there's tension in all of that. And all of that tension creates the opportunity for expansion. And that's how we expand. And now, because we have technology such as this, you can hop on Zoom. I was on Zoom the other day, because my video guy is in Europe, my Instagram person is in Colombia, and Matt was in Hong Kong, and now today he's in Australia. Think of all the continents that were on one meeting,
right?
And all together, just like this, communicating just like this. It's crazy that we have the ability to do that, and it's relatively new in our world. But now that we can communicate, now that we have social media, people are seeing other slices of life that they've never been exposed to before. And in coming together that way, we're all kind of questioning, well, wait a minute, do we need these old templates? Do we need these old way of doing things? Do we need a church telling us, you know, what's right and what's wrong, when the church doesn't even seem to be living by their own, you know, rules sometimes? And we're questioning. And the questioning is not necessarily causing destruction. We don't know that yet. But we're seeing fracture in government, fracture in religion, fracture in even police departments, fracturing all over the place. And I think ultimately the disruption is good.
I would say so. In fact, I'll go a step further and say, yes, I see the fracturing too, but I also see some bending and some malleability going on. One of my favorite things that has happened since the whole, I'll call it the Zoom era, for lack of a better term. You can take any of the different technologies out there. I'm just kind of grouping them all under one. The Zoom era has introduced me to people from different lands whom I would never have expected that I'd have any interactions with, but I am having interactions with them. And the coolest part is they're just like me. Yeah, they're different. They have different cultures. They have different you know, ways of thinking about things and so forth. But you know what? They behave just like I do. They are human beings. And it just kind of demystifies all the thing. Well, you have Russians, and you have Chinese, and you have Australians, and you have British, and you have Spanish, and like, no, you have people. That to me is the great breakthrough. Now, of course, I wouldn't be able to appreciate that if I was locked into one of these I am right type scenarios, because when you're right, somebody else has to be wrong. And very often it's the person you're talking to. But without that, it's cool. It's fun. And I think that's what we really talk about when we talk about the expansion that happens in these scenarios, because the expansion comes from discovering how cool it is that there's all these things that we can like about this new scenario that we didn't know before, that was not part of our earlier perspective, but it's part of the new perspective. That's what's really expanding. That's what's growing. And I love it.
Yeah, it's an exciting time to be alive, and I don't know that most human beings appreciate it right now, but it really is, this disruption. And if you take fear and you take judgment out, and you're no longer fearing death or some sort of oppression, then you're not worried about the outcome. You're just enjoying the ride. And, you know, this political ride in the United States, I've been following it a little bit here and there. And it's funny because I'll pop on to CNN and then I'll pop on to Fox News and just see the stark contrast of what's being offered.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
Yeah. And there's elements that are interesting about both because it's all biased. And the pins and needles, you know, of, oh my gosh, what's going to, because this was a big week in the United States.
You know,
we don't know that, but it seems like it's sort of the end of the road for questioning the results of the election, it seems. And
well, they'll continue to be questioned for weeks and months and years.
Oh,
well,
I think
and,
they'll be questioned from now. Forever, sure, yeah, but the official questioning as far as which states were going to certify the election, boom, right? So it's interesting that happened this week, the week of Thanksgiving, the week where you are probably going to go sit at Thanksgiving dinner with your brother-in-law with whom you vehemently disagree.
Right.
But you're not, if you take the fear and judgment out of it, you can simply allow your brother-in-law, for example, to have whatever belief system. And it's so disarming when someone wants to argue with you and be right. Okay, fine.
Yeah, then so arguments really quick.
You know, and I have people in my life on both sides, and I've maintained these friendships. The only friendships I've lost in all of this are friendships that when I dare speak the words, you can maintain friendships with anyone regardless of political ideas. Those people are the ones that have exited my life because they were not comfortable with that idea, that I had to take a side, and it had to be their side.
Which reinforces what we know, which is if you don't buy into their vibration, they go away.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what that was. And it was clarity for me too. I'm like, wow, you know, you're going to end a friendship with me because not because I even disagree with you necessarily, but because I am opening space to maintain friendships with people that I don't agree with. Because I'm like, and I said, I'm not giving you that much power. Sorry. And I'm like, well, oh my God, if you don't, you know, well, sorry. You can be like that if you want. I just don't think that way. And that was that disarming for them that they had to disappear.
So I have to mention this.
Blocked on Facebook that I'm aware of. It's like, I feel like I'm.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's really, really interesting. I barely go on Facebook anymore though, because it just got so out there. And I do have friends all over the place. And it was just, everything was politics for a while. And I thought, okay, I've got other things to deal with in my life to worry about that. I'm going to see what's going on with Taya and LOA Today. And
there you go.
The fun stuff, the real power of the universe. And we know it. We see it. Because you can have any political belief you want, but if you don't believe that you're abundant and you don't believe that you're worthy, then you're going to manifest a reality that is not abundant nor worthy. And that's going to be your reality until you do some work to clean up that vibration. And that's available to anyone, anywhere, in any circumstance, at any time. And that's what the message that I really want to drive home.
I have to say, one of my favorite ways to appreciate somebody who has a viewpoint that I would consider to be kind of way out there is to maintain the attitude, the approach that you're describing, and let them do their thing where they're, like you say, they're trying to suck me in. Theirs is the only right way. And I'm always waiting for one phrase because I can guarantee it'll always come out if I stick with that person long enough in conversation. The phrase is, you've got your head stuck in the sand. And I always smile inside. Sometimes I actually say it out, but I usually don't. I'm always smiling inside when I hear that because I think to myself, you have no idea how deep in the sand your own head is.
Yeah.
You are missing out on all this great stuff because you're so insistent that you have to have it your way.
Yeah. You know, letting your favorite news channel tell you what to think and how to react. That's stuck in the sand right there as far as I'm concerned.
It is. It is. It's a funny thing that Louis D'Souza, who does the show on Mondays with me, he was mentioning yesterday something along the lines of what you mentioned about 10 minutes ago. He says he is proud of the fact that his opinion is fluid, that it can change from moment to moment. And I really liked the way he expressed that because it points out kind of indirectly the disadvantage of insisting that your opinion always has to stay the same, no matter what it is. You know, we're talking politics, liberal, conservative, middle of the road, doesn't matter.
We're not even the same being here as we are here. Mm-hmm. So when you're up here, your thought process and your beliefs and your values are different than they are when you're in lower vibration. And we all go up and down due to polarity. The stream said it beautifully. When you feel like you've got to scatter to the corners and choose sides, you're already in low vibration. Because right. The higher your vibe is, the more fluid you are about everything, because you can zoom out and reach a state of non-judgment. I channel source, and we all channel source in our own way. And I have done enough work to where I fully now comprehend the idea of non-judgment. I don't live in that all the time. Certainly I do not, but I've reached this state in channeling the stream where I understand it. I don't live it. I still have an ego. I'm a human being. We all discern preference. We definitely dip into judgment, low vibration. I just gave you an example earlier of how I've done it. But when you get to that space of, wow, we're all eternal beings here having a temporary expression of physical that is one of infinite for us. And it's like a little weekend trip, and there's no getting it wrong. Whatever our experience is the experience that our soul wanted to come and have. And not that it was predetermined. Our soul wanted to come and have an experience of chance, if you will. A unique one-off experience like no other. And it's all these twists and turns that we manifest based on our reaction to our own manifestations, really. And the twists and turns create the expansion of being. And even if we live in a way that is considered unsavory for a human being from our perspective, source doesn't see it that way. Mm-hmm. They have as much love for the person that does the school shooting as they do for the person that spends their life, you know, giving to the poor, because it's just seen differently. And it's so hard to comprehend that from a human perspective. Like, how could, you know, no, they've got to burn in hell for all of eternity. Well, it's just not the way that I see it. And I actually love the idea of love and the idea of we're all going to be okay. And that regardless of what the life experience is, even if it's one that we judge as painful, and I certainly understand that, I watched the interview, Oprah and President Obama. It was on Apple TV, I think. I watched that the other night. It was really interesting. And he talked about his hardest day was the day of Sandy Hook, and they showed him the photographs. Mm. I mean, there's just no way that you're going to see that and not be human about it and say, oh my God, that's horrible. That should never happen. Whoever did that was a monster. I get all that. Sure. I'm saying that there is a different side of it though, that source perspective where all that is seen very differently. And when you get to that connection, it takes the pressure off of life, and you can actually be an appreciation of every human's manifested path, even if it's one that you think is horrific. And that doesn't mean that you're going to be this cold, callous person who is uncaring. No. It just means that you understand that higher perspective. And it's to me, it is the God perspective. If you use that term, I use source more than I use God, but that true unconditional love perspective, not a perspective of judgment. Judgment is a human thing. And that makes so much sense to me. And all of the things that I've learned from the stream and taught, that they taught, all come together for these teachings that really help you navigate life in a way that you don't have to fear the holidays. You don't have to label anybody toxic. You don't have to worry about being around someone who is quote unquote negative or toxic or any of those things, because you are in control of your reaction to everything. And when you get control of your reaction to everything, you really have control over your life experience in a way that you've never perhaps experienced before.
One of my favorite ways to deal with particularly painful subjects like what you mentioned there is to remind myself that I don't need to take on a moral viewpoint or get into a low vibe, dig my heels in kind of stance in any situation, no matter how horrific it might be, simply because all I have to do is remind myself everything that we choose to think about, to do, to talk about, whatever, has consequences. And I always have to emphasize and underline, consequences aren't necessarily negative. Consequences can be positive. They can be neutral. They can be all kinds of things. But there inevitably are going to be things that will follow. That's what a consequence is. And, you know, so if somebody tries to do something or actually pulls off doing something horrific, there are going to be consequences. It's not up to me to do anything about that. It just is. And just by letting it be what it is, I can sit back and say, you know what? They chose a terrible path and boy, they're going to pay for that one. But, you know, that's what they had. That's what they signed up for, you know? So, okay. That's their business. And that alone allows me to just sit back and say, hey, it's not my job to fix them. It's not my job to fix them. Now, the harder one for me, and I'm getting better at it, is to remind myself that they're not broken either. That there's no such thing as a broken human being. And that could be even more challenging to deal with, I think, just because we see so many instances that in our cultural training, we have come to associate with being a broken person. But there's no such thing as a broken person. There are only people who are making choices, many of which I wouldn't come anywhere near making. It just would not be of interest.
Operating in low vibration and choosing to hold themselves in low vibration. You're not high vibration and kill anyone.
No.
You're not going to be in high vibration and kill anyone unintentionally. It's just not going to happen. You know, the first little bump into the wall in the morning, you're already in low vibration or that wouldn't even happen to you. So it is about noticing right off the bat that, oh, my vibe is, you know, I stuck my toe. Obviously my vibe is not where it should be. I need to do some clearing and raise my vibration and set an intention for a better experience.
Exactly.
You will have a magnificent experience. And if you get habitual about doing that, you're doing that day after day after day after day, all day, every day. It becomes your habit of thought. And I just did that. I had to go. I got a lot of things done this morning in preparation for Thanksgiving. And I knew I had to be back here to be on the show at 1 o'clock my time. And I just set the intention that it was all going to work out perfectly. And it did. I even had time to grab lunch before I had to come on. And, you know, I had a lot of stuff to get done. And I started to go down that little spiral of, oh my gosh, I've got to go do this and that and this other thing. And I forgot to put air in my tire and I didn't car. And no, I'm not going to do that. I readjusted. I got it all done. My four tires have the perfect amount of air.
I love it.
All four of them needed air because the temperature changed dramatically here. And I got everything done and showed up right on time here. And I set that intention for that and to have a great interaction on the show, as I always do, no matter what. And now we've chewed up 45 minutes.
Having a great time.
Yeah. Having a great time and talking about fun stuff because I just want everybody to get it. You know, I really want everyone who hears what we have to offer, you, I, the stream, that these teachings are a little more complex than what is offered in a book like The Secret, but it really does fill in all the gaps. And if you really get into it, really delivers a very joyous life experience. And the zooming out to the higher perspective is a key component to that. And when you do that, the top five, just to give it to you real quick, stop needing to be right. Detune judgment. We've talked about that. Ask, is this worth me going down my spiral over before you go down your spiral? If you create that stopgap reaction, and you can do that. This is a Taya tool. When you're absorbing something and it's troubling, you can stop yourself as soon as you feel your vibe drop and ask, is this worth going down my spiral over? And 9 times out of 10, your answer is going to be no. And then you've already stopped it. You've already thought about it and you're breaking the habit of being triggered down your spiral over absorbing something that you perhaps find distasteful in some way. Number 4, intend the best possible outcome. I know there's a lot of Abraham people that I think that that's the same as what Abraham says, going general.
Pretty much, yeah.
Set an intention for the best possible outcome.
Right.
Meaning, don't get so specific, because when you have that intention of the perfect house, you've got to have the perfect house. You go, you find the perfect house, and then for some reason the deal falls apart, and then you retreat and give up on it. Instead, best possible outcome. Ah, this deal didn't come together. Oh, the house needs $30,000 worth of, you know, whatever. And, you know, now the bank is saying no or something along those lines. Well, obviously this wasn't the best possible outcome. This is just the universe showing us that we're on our way. This is exciting. This is clarity. That wasn't the right house after all. Let's just go back up in high vibration and intend the best possible outcome. And then it will happen. And it is my promise that it will happen every time if you practice that. Mm. And then the last thing is that being offended is always a choice.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Always a choice. Always a choice to be offended. And that being offended is really rooted in worrying about the judgment of others. Mm-hmm. And there are things that would have offended me at one time, perhaps. I quit being offended a long, long time ago before I ever started really creating what we call Taya today.
Good for you.
I just realized that it's silly to be offended. And it's you know, you're reacting to somebody else's judgment of you. And if you detune caring about the judgment of others, there's nothing left to be offended about.
That's true. That's very true. Hey, one of the listeners in the live stream, by the way, we have a few people in the live stream. One of them is Mike, who's saying hello to you. And Jeffrey made a comment about expecting alien communists from the future. I'm not quite sure what that's connected to, but I don't even want to ask. But Janine asked a question. She said, David, how many people have graduated from Taya Bootcamp?
We're over 100 now.
Okay.
And it's a good question because we're actually having a Taya Bootcamp reunion for all the graduates today. We're having a big member reunion in our, we have a secret group just for Taya Bootcamp graduates. I doubt that I'm going to get 100 on at one time because people are traveling. But we do a reunion once a year, so it'll be cool to get everybody back on because Taya Bootcamp started in March of 2018. Okay. So now we've crossed the 100 graduate mark. Yeah.
What do you think is that?
Dan is our newest, our Dan Mangina,
if I say Dan Mangina, yeah.
He is our newest Taya Bootcamper. He just joined.
Oh, he just joined up. Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Well, I know I've asked this before.
He's a challenging person to put through there because he's already done so much work on his own. And I love that, though. Anytime I get somebody that's really an advanced student in, and one of my first two graduates that ever took the program was really an advanced spiritual student, Stacy, who works for me now. She's a coach. She was one of my first two graduates, and she had been at this for 30 years when she came into Taya, and now she's, you know, for life, a Taya lifer, I think, because it's put everything together for her in a way that all these other teachings didn't, and it's really changed her life, and I love having her as a coach.
That's cool. One thing I'm curious about, and I think I asked this before, but I'll ask it again. What do you think is the number one most common thing that people gain from being a Taya Bootcamp member? And I'm going to hazard a guess that it has something to do with your concept of transgressors.
I think most people get into bootcamp because they know they have that transgressor work to do. Everybody has transgressors, but I think that actually propels most people to join is that they have that. I call it an abundance block. But it's always rooted in a transgressor. I would think the appreciation of transgressor and clarity, those things kind of combine together because people come in wanting all sorts of different things. I always laugh when they come in wanting money and, you know, all of that sort of thing. And then they get out. And if you notice, we have a playlist of testimonials. If you ever watch the testimonials, I don't ever want to have them scripted. So we'll do the graduation and then I'll kind of surprise them. Hey, let's do your testimonial right now. And most of the time they say yes. And we roll right into it because I want those raw answers.
Right.
And it's so funny because I'll say, you know, what's the biggest thing you got out of bootcamp? And they'll list like three or four things. Money is never number one. Money, dream job, weight loss. Sometimes better health is up there, but you know, the things that we all think that we want and need to be happy, especially the top three, money, relationship, and health, they're never the top thing. They're in there, absolutely, but they're always a byproduct of this joy and clarity that you see in raising your vibration. And you raise your vibration by appreciating transgressors, zooming out to source perspective, not needing to be right, all these things that we talked about today. All of those things work as a system to just systematically raise your vibration. And I have yet to find a place where you can't go any higher.
Well, sure, yeah. From what I understand, there's almost no limit to it. I mean, I guess the limit would be like light speed. I don't know. It would be pretty fast. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, somebody has an ad out in some group of teachers, and it's called Superhumans. And it's getting a lot of attention, but I didn't really click on it to see what it was about. But I thought, that's interesting. I wonder what the definition of a superhuman is.
Right, yeah.
Are you living perfection? Because part of the Taya practice is not about perfection. It's about appreciating the imperfection of, the perfection of imperfection. Your obstacles are fewer and further between, and there's more manifestation, but it's never this perfection. And I'm in a place now to where I don't care about perfection. You know, last year I was all about having the perfect body, and I had the best body of my life at 51. You know, the leanest, most muscle I've ever had on me. And I thought it was everything. And then it was kind of like, eh, who cares? It's like, okay, I did that. Now I'm going to take up baking instead. But, you know, balancing baking in the gym and better health and, you know, paying attention to all that stuff. But there's just, you know, there's always going to be something that's going to come through and create a little storm for us. But that is the process of creation that allows us to still expand and create something new. If we ever stop that process, the stream has said that's the end of your life. When you stop that process, when you're no longer interested in that, you sort of wind down. The world gets so ahead of you that you naturally sort of wind down your human being and you return to non-physical. And it's okay to do that as part of the process. But this idea of becoming perfect, where everything manifests, everything's perfect, your relationship is perfect, your body is perfect, your finances are just flowing, and you don't have any problems, everything's just great. I don't even desire that because there's no expansion offered in that. I love solving problems now because I know I'm going to manifest them. I know I have the power to solve them just by going up in vibration and allowing the solution just to flow. And I always learn something in the solving of it. So bring it on.
More from the live stream, Jenny added a couple comments. She said, I like this discussion on how to be with people who have different opinions from me. A thought that helps me is maybe if I had lived your life, I would feel the way you do and vice versa. And she also says, I love that being offended is a choice. It's significant that the phrase is to take offense. Take is an action.
That's a good point. That's a great point.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't really take something in the sense that somebody made you do it. You either took it or you didn't. There's not a whole lot of it's Master Yoda comes to mind. Take or do not take. There is no try.
it's true. And we live in a world that seems to, the offense seems to be heightening. There's a lot of things are sort of elevating and we're releasing these tools of control and things like that. It does seem like we have this undercurrent of the younger generations that seem to be a little more easily offended. And I understand that is rooted and their desire for fairness for all, which is they're born up to speed with the time they were born. And I know where it's rooted, but the being so easily offended, you know, I love comedy. I love to laugh and I like really inappropriate comedy sometimes. But I don't get offended by it. It's just jokes. It's just comedy. And I'm a gay man and God knows, you know, my group, we're the butt of jokes very often. And I laugh at all of them. I think they're hilarious, you know, but there are younger gay people. They get really offended. Mm-hmm. How dare you? That's, you know, and I'm just like, it's just a joke. It's okay. I draw a distinction between making a joke about something and laughing at ourselves and someone actually hating me. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something different. But yeah, I'm even at the point now to where if somebody hates me for being gay, I could care less. That's their experience. It has nothing to do with me. And I'm not even offended by it. And I haven't been called names very often in my life, but I had that happen not too long ago here in Palm Springs. It was called the F word. Yes. And I just laughed it off. It just was so,
good for you.
It was so meaningless to me. I just thought, whatever. And, it didn't impact me at all. And I know other people that, you know, if that happened, they would be on social media, you know, screaming about it.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I agree with you. For myself, I'm never one who likes the real raunchy humor. That's always been a big turnoff for me. But I kind of look at the same way you do, just from a slightly different perspective. Since I don't like it, I just don't pay attention to it.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't come into my life.
So yeah, if you're not into something, just ignore it. You're exactly right. Yeah. We all have different tastes and ideas. I think that there's that alter ego of me that still likes that, just not necessarily raunchy, because that just gets old after a while, because it's just, you know, it's like lazy comedy. But people that just can can dive deep into even like insult comedy and stuff like that. I just laugh at it. It doesn't mean anything to me unless they're insulting, you know, somebody that's not there. But these roasts and things like that can be hilarious. But they've all put themselves on a panel to be roasted. So
yeah, right? It's not like they were dragged there in handcuffs. They had the choice too. That's also a big thing for me, is reminding myself the role that choice plays. Choice is huge, and we don't give enough credit to it as a race. I do love the fact that your type boot camp places a big emphasis on it. I like to place an emphasis on it here on the show as well, because I think when we understand just how everything is a choice, boy, that take, for me anyway, that takes the sting out of a lot of stuff that previously would have really, really stung me. But once I understood that everybody is choosing, it just feels different. It just has different flavors.
Well, and also having a deep understanding of how and why we attract unwanted things. Because when people hear about law of attraction and these people that want to disprove it are people that are offended by it. You know, the first thing they say is, well, why does someone manifest cancer? I don't believe anybody. One of my book reviewers said that. She gave me one star. Said it was mean because people that manifest cancer don't manifest cancer. Well, we manifest everything. It doesn't mean that we want it or deserve it, or that's very misunderstood. And the thing that Taya goes really deep in is understanding the value of obstacles and the value of things that we judge as unsavory in our world. Maybe that's why I'm so unoffended by all of this stuff, because
probably
nothing unsavory in our world if you're not judging any of it. And and having that understanding gives you such peace as a human being.
Very good point. Well, speaking of having peace as a human being, I'm going to take a moment and give people a little bit of peace in the form of the LOA Today app and remind people who have not yet downloaded the app to do so. People have been pointing out to me that there's a problem. There are a couple problems, actually, with the way the episodes play on the app, and I just want to assure everybody I'm well aware of them. I've been practicing my own ability to attract solutions, and I had some interesting experiences that I didn't get a chance to talk about here on the show today, but that really just gave me more opportunities to do my own expansion while I'm learning how to fix these things that have been kind of haunting the app. But they're going to get fixed. It's just a question of when they're going to get fixed. I can't tell you exactly when it'll be. It'll be when it's appropriate, when the solution comes to me that I need to have, because it's not an easy one. But along with the podcast episodes, you also get a whole bunch of what we call goodies. And those are what I really want to point to, because among the goodies is a form that you can fill out that comes directly to us, to me and David and my other co-hosts, where you can ask a question or you can bring up a comment like Jenny did in the live stream, or you can share something and we include it in the podcast. So I want to invite people who have not yet done so to take the LOA Today app, go to the goodies section, go to the ask a question page and send us something. You can even identify who you're sending it to. Which of my co-hosts are you aiming it at you want that person to answer it? It goes to them, and I'll make sure they get asked the question. So, you know, take advantage. Be the person who contributes, because the people who've been contributing, I'll give you one example. Deborah has been making a lot of contributions lately, and David, it's just fun to watch how her own mind has been growing just because of the answers she's been getting as we go through her questions on various podcasts. So take advantage of it. It's really important. And also a final reminder, we're going to be doing the LOA Today gratitude episode on Thursday. If you want to get yours in, just go to loatoday.net/gratitude. And we will be glad to include your list of gratitudes, short or long, whatever it is, in the mashup that's going to be presented that day. So be a part of that too. So good conversation, David. Really like this one.
Always
really,
good.
Really good. And we hope that you have a happy Thanksgiving, you and yours, and same thing to our live streamers as well. And also to our podcast listeners, I know I say this a lot, but I want to reemphasize, I love how many people have been listening, how the numbers have been increasing, and I love the enthusiasm that our listeners have. We get really, really fabulous responses from the people who write in. So thank you, listeners. We really appreciate every single one of you. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.